Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Fine and is produced by Mecco Radio.
And that moment just set complete panic. And I kind of, to be honest with you, I kind of imploded after that. That was in January of 2010, early January 2010. And I dropped out of college by the fall semester of 2010. Then I found myself working the checkout line at a grocery store.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined by Will Conway once again. He previously featured on episode 31 of Broken Bulbs, so make sure you go back and check that out as well. Will is a talented guy who had it all. He's worked on tons of political campaigns, built websites, helped tell the stories of others, worked in corporate America, and he hosts an incredible podcast, Baggage Claim, which also has a great community built around it. Not only that, but he's a world traveler too, which I love. But he also faced an identity crisis after meeting his biological family. That's coming up after the break. Real quick before we get into today's show, I'd like to invite you to leave us a review and share this episode with a friend or family member who you think would get something out of it. We are really trying to push the show and get it out to as many listeners as possible to share the message of we all fail, we all make mistakes, and it's normal, and it's important to talk about it and learn from it. We want to see the show get to 10,000 downloads an episode before the end of the year. Let's see if we can do it. Thanks for your help. Enjoy the show. Will Conway, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
I am. Let's go for it.
Perfect. So today we're talking about you meeting your birth parents and this kind of starting a bit of an identity crisis in you, wondering who exactly you are and what exactly you're doing. Do you want to fill us in on the details? Where were you when this was happening? And what started to come up because of it?
Yeah. I mean, that was an odd and sort of heavy time in my life. I was fairly young. I was 17 years old, and I had always known I was adopted. It was always kind of part of my identity. I don't remember being told I was adopted. Like, it's just always been there, kind of thing. But as you sort of go through the normal motions as a high school student, as an adolescent, sort of trying to figure out who you are, there had always been this date on the calendar for my 18th birthday to meet my birth parents. And I remember not thinking much of it precisely. I remember it seeming like just an interesting thing that was coming up. Then it happened, and I met my birth mother and my birth sister and my birth sister's two children. Now, so I was 17. I had just turned 18 years old when I met them. I come from a sort of like upper middle class Connecticut family, suburban life. And this world was entirely different. My birth sister at the time, I was 18, she was 20, and she had two kids, one of whom was six. So she had her first kid when she was 14 years old. And that in and of itself was completely outside my life experience and outside anything that I knew that people were doing and was possible. You know, as a late stage high school student at this like ritzy prep school in Connecticut, people who are listening can't see me, but I kind of look the part. I'm like this white preppy looking dude, but I felt like I was showing up in this world, pretending to be from this background. And it turned out that I was actually like from the wrong side of the tracks. And I just kind of looked the part well enough to get through. Up until that moment in my life, nothing really felt super out of whack. But then I went through this experience and just couldn't quite pin down precisely who I was and what I was supposed to be doing. So I was still in high school at that time. So then fast forward about a year, I'm able to keep myself together enough to like go off to college and kind of start to do those types of things. And I'd kept in touch with my birth my birth mother and my birth sister, especially her and I ended up getting pretty close, partly because I was fascinated by how similar we were and how different her life circumstances were, right? Like I could have so easily been her under a different set of circumstances because she's a smart girl, really articulate, and we just connected on a lot of levels. So then, yeah, so a year goes by, I go off to school, I kept in touch with them, and I went back to visit them in Pennsylvania about a year later. And I walked through the door and my birth father was sitting on the couch. The only reason I knew it was my birth father is because I had seen one picture of him. My understanding was they had broken up before I was born. So I walk into this room, my birth father is just sitting on the couch. Being able to communicate the shockwave that sent down my spine and what I felt in that moment, I still can't. I still don't quite know. I wasn't prepared for the experience, and I just got entirely blindsided. It turned out that my birth mother had reached out to my birth father. Hey, I met our son 6-7 months ago. Would you like to meet him? There's a miscommunication, and that's what happened. I had always had this kind of whitewashed picture of what happened in my head, and that moment just relieved all preconceived notions of what I was supposed to be experiencing, of what the story was, what was true and what wasn't. I remember coming back into the house. I kind of spent the weekend with them, came in with some groceries, and my birth mother sort of had this moment where her shoulders drooped and she looked around the room. And there was me carrying in groceries, and there was Chris, there was Holly and the two kids playing with like Tonka trucks and stuff. She just looked around the room and had this moment of thinking like, oh, this is my family. This is what it's supposed to be. And I saw that and saw her have that experience and just like completely panicked. It was like, this isn't my family. Like you guys are just a bunch of idiots. Like, I don't know who you are. And had this super intense realization that the family are the people who are there for you. Your family are the people who raise you, who nurture you, who bring you into the world culturally and psychologically and nurture you and make you who you are. And that moment just set complete panic. And I kind of, to be honest with you, I kind of imploded after that. That was in January of 2010, early January 2010. And I dropped out of college by the following semester, by the fall semester of 2010. Then I found myself working the checkout line at a grocery store. I remember having this sort of odd feeling in that moment, which was this feeling of like, I am where I'm supposed to be now. Like I'm supposed to be working the checkout line. And there was kind of like a woe is me attitude in there. And so, yeah, I went from feeling like I was in the right place to feeling completely like fish out of water to reverting back into feeling like I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. That was a heavy and intense, probably 2 years. I worked myself out of it, but that was wild.
Yeah, that is really, really intense. So I'm wondering what, if anything, were the specific things that you did to get yourself out of that crisis of identity?
I think two things, one of which was healthy and one probably wasn't. But I definitely found myself shutting down my emotional side. I felt like I lived with this thick plate of glass between myself and the world. And so if something bad would happen or if something less than ideal would happen, I'd kind of observe it as opposed to experience it. It was almost like I was in my brain with a bag of popcorn watching my life unfold. It's sort of this distance from the experience of being in the world. And that helped me cope and definitely got the mechanism moving again, got me able to sort of figure out what I was trying to do because I didn't have to deal with the intensity of the world because I had sort of blocked that side of my brain. But then the other thing that I did, which I honestly I think was much healthier, was I started writing. I started writing a lot. It's always been a passion for me. I was working at a grocery store, but I was able to convince myself I was doing something more important because I was writing this book and telling this story and developing ideas. That ability to cope through communication was, I think, the first step in helping me get somewhere. So finding a way to cope and blocking out the bad side, one of those is productive and the other not so much.
I love that. I think that's a really interesting way to look at it, that, you know, there are different ways that we cope. Some of them are healthy, some of them are not. And especially that writing to this day is something that you do. Storytelling to this day is something that you do. And I know for me personally, podcasting is a huge thing for me to work through, to experience, and to, you know, put my mind on something more positive. With that, as we do at the end of every episode, I like to ask, what is it that's working for you now? What are those stories that you're telling, that bulb that is yet to be broken, at least, that you're doing now, and where can people follow you?
Yeah, for sure. So I, on a much brighter and cheerier note, all that was a long time ago, but I launched a podcast called Baggage Claim, which is about that moment in your late 20s when you're sort of trying to figure out what your life is about and what you're doing. I had this successful career and a fiance and various things, and I decided I wanted to figure out what I was trying to do. So I got an airplane to Colombia with a one-way ticket and explored South America, and I launched a show called Baggage Claim, which is these immersive little travel stories, really short, 10, 15, 20 minutes long an episode. But sound design, so you kind of feel like you're in the place with me. The show really tells the journey of going from sort of lacking your own authenticity and to actually figuring out how to communicate with people in such a way that you empathize with other people and you're able to find your own sort of inner truth, right? But on a higher level, more than the podcast itself, Baggage Claim is supposed to sort of be a community. It's supposed to be a movement. And so what I'm trying to do is find people who care about traveling as a mechanism to finding authenticity and to finding empathy and to building relationships through interactions with people. And so that's what Baggage Claim is. We're most places at Hey Baggage Claim, and Instagram, annoyingly, is at Baggage Claim Pod. But the website is heybaggageclaim.com. So that'll get you there.
I love it. Well, I'll have links for all of that in the show notes. I can highly recommend the show to everybody. And I just want to say once again, Will, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Alex. It was a pleasure.
And thank you for listening. What are we doing to cope? Having a creative project can be a great help. I know it is for me. If you go on mechoradio.com, you'll find plenty of projects I'm doing. But watch that you aren't shutting down and shutting out. Let yourself experience life where you're at. Special thank you to Will Conway for joining me once again and being willing to talk about his broken bulbs. Be sure to check out his work, including Baggage Claim, his fantastic podcast, which I've linked down in the show notes. Seriously, I can't recommend it enough. He also featured on episode 31, so feel free to go back and check that out as well. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and share the show with a friend or family member who you think would get something out of it. Broken Bulbs is produced by Mecho Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Vine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork is by Bethany Gustafson, and the music we use is by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecho.